universe is everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Hello once again and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvia Avery.
I'm Mick Avery.
And we are mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing listeners' questions, and if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. The number is toll-free in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and it's 001-530-876-3222. I'd just like to add, actually, that it's not a reading-style show, so you won't be able to get a reading from the spirit guide, Gregory, on the show, but you can book yourself an Akashic reading with Gregory and have a one-to-one with him, a personal reading, and if you want to find out more about that, you can go to our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. This show is more about the mechanics of the spirit world, the things that the spirit world want to know and can share with us, their information about this world, other worlds, and anything to do with your spiritual progress, to do with your gifts of spirit and what you can do about things, and just generally the spirit world's perspective on life. So if you'd always wondered who to ask and never knew who to, then this is the show for you.
Well, hi. I'm Mick Avery, and as well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 6 p.m. GMT, which is 10 a.m. PST, which is some other time in EST.
Yeah, but actually today it's 5 o'clock because our clock went back.
That's right. Oh, so scrub all of that. Anyway, we're here, and we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching on Tuesdays on artistfirst.com, and that's at 4 p.m. PST usually. If you would like to know more about us, our book CDs, maybe you would like to have an Akashic reading. Oh, and we also do other kinds of readings as well. We do sort of assessments and spirit assessments and all sorts of other stuff. Anyway, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com. They're also at www.spiritsworkradio.com and now at www.mickavery.com. Now, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he's come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And in this way, I suppose, I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. So, because this is all that we do, really.
We just pave the way for the spirit world.
Yeah, just ask for the spirit world to come and communicate, and that's what they do. So I'm going to leave now. Have a great show, everyone. Bye.
Yeah, so Gregory is the spokesperson now for the White Cloud Group, and they consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means there's no room for errors because interpretation from the medium doesn't come into it. It's literally 100% Gregory Hay, and as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. If you have any questions for Gregory on the show, once again, do just phone in 877-876-5227, Canada 888-815-9756, international callers, it's not toll-free, 001-530-876-3222, and it's metaphysical questions, thoughts that you would like the spirit world's views on. It's not a reading style situation, but we do Akashic readings privately if you would like to get in touch with us, as we just said. So actually, people do send us questions prior to the shows, because obviously not everybody can listen live, and it's beneficial to them to be able to do that sometimes. Plus, not everybody likes to speak on the telephone either. So I do encourage people to send me questions, and I will ask them on your behalf, and then you can always listen to the archive of the show either through BBS. You can get to that from our website as well, but obviously you can go to bbsradio.com to find out about that. And if you would like us to actually do a whole topic that you've got a lot of questions on that would actually compile a whole show, then you can just send me those as well. You know, it might not seem important to you, but if it's interesting to you, if you're interested, it doesn't matter how much you think you know or think you don't know, you know, the spirit will want to come and talk to you about it, because they want to help us to, to be able to have everything available so that we can make measured decisions, better measured decisions. You know, we've been led with beliefs up till now, and now we can actually maybe open up things in our mind that might help us to have a wider perspective on life. And I do believe Gregory's here now.
With love and light, blessings be upon your pathway, little bird.
Thank you.
Hello, and blessings everyone. Thank you so for inviting us once again.
You're welcome. We kind of rely on it now, Gregory. After,
yes, so I understand.
I think this is the 272nd show or something.
Yes.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, I do have some questions from...
Very well.
Okay. From Dave in the UK. He says, it struck me whilst listening to your last show that as a physical being, I experience my feelings in a very physical way. Love, sadness, joy, anger, etc. They all have a very distinctive physical effect on the human body. Effects that you associate with and tell you that you are feeling these feelings and what it means to you, how you interpret it.
Yes.
So in spirit, without the physical body, how are feelings experienced?
A very interesting point that you make, my dear friend. It is perhaps far easier for you to understand how feelings may well be represented if you understand the premise that when your physical body passes from the physical world, your conscious mind is what travels with your spirit in our side of life. So it means to say then, whatever was in the collection of your conscious mind, and that is to do with the attributes, the containment, the connectivity that you had between your physiological brain, your mind thought transfer mechanism, and the physical being that you were, and the consciousness that was resultant from that, all of that, the whole relay sequence and everything about it, including all of your cell memory, is what comes with you to the spirit world. So if you can think about that for a moment, you may be able to understand that. In all of the connotations I'm saying, it means to say that you will have memories attached to your conscious physical life of the emotions that you shared. You do not want to come to our side of life through death's door that you then shirk off. All emotion is drained from you in some respect as though it were blood. There is no situation where all of the ways in which you presented yourself are not brought with you either. They are. All of them. Every single one. So your habits, your perhaps little nuances that made you the character that you were in physical life continue to be represented in the spirit world. Don't forget, though, that what you are actually representing here and how it takes shape is simply as a coat upon the spirit. Your spirit is just as pure and just as beautiful as it was before you had a physical life, and as it has always been right from the point at which your beautiful, pure spirit moved away from the consciousness, from the energy that is God. The central core creation of all life, the source of all life, however you may wish to understand that energy source to be. So it means to say that when you have, you want to understand, well, what happens to the emerging, the previously emerging emotions, all of those emotional fields, the sadness you think and feel, the love that you create within you and send to others, and the love that you continue to create in the spirit world. How can that be possible, as you say, without the physical mind, without the physical body to accentuate it, without the chemistry? After all, we have to agree, don't we, that many of the situations of your physical life, the emotions that you share, are actually really resultant from chemical reactions initiated by pheromonic activity caused by synapses within your physical brain that fire off certain mechanisms, organs of the body, be it what they are, dependent upon perhaps whether you are to digest food or liquid or some other thing, process gases that you breathe into your physical body via your lungs, to exchange all of that within the blood synergy as it moves around your physical body. All of this too forms a part of the memory, the coating memory for your spirit. So there it is then. How else do you think it may be that you may then regenerate the actual being that you were? How you looked, how you felt, not necessarily at the present, current age that you passed, the wrinkly prune of the thing that you were, maybe, or maybe all bust up, maybe that you had limbs torn off or some such thing as that. Maybe it was that this or that was missing, like myself, lost my head. Still, it continued to be that with cell memory and with all of the memory that I had from my pre-existent life, all of that cohesive force then enabled me to continue to wear my head.
So, okay, so subconsciously your memory remembers it. So, you know, yes. You don't have to worry about, I'm sure there's people listening thinking, gosh, well, I'm not really that clever, am I? I'm never going to be able to do this.
Yes, but it's an automatic response.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with you.
Yes, you don't actively have to pursue it.
Yeah, okay. So, it doesn't really matter if you did not even have the awareness, particularly of anything. You know, if you
even the facets of it.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And of your mind and
yes. And the reason why, dear friend, this comes about is because otherwise it would be. And this is contrary perhaps to some people's opinion, whereby they think that as soon as someone comes to the spirit world after having their physical life, maybe they went through Alzheimer's or maybe they went through some other disease, debilitating situation or whatever, that they've got to be healed from it. Well, they're not physical beings, so why would they want to be healed from it? You may well have to have some healing brought about or some interactivity brought about through mentors or some other situation that help them to become cohesive again.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because sometimes it can be, if the last thoughts and memories were of nothing, if the last thoughts and memories were in fact that the person through suffering Alzheimer's or some other withering mental disorder or dis-ease, that it simply meant that they were not actually cognizant of their conscious memory. That simply means then that otherwise it would be that spirit would still be just walking around, walking into all kinds of situations and not actually knowing where it was. So for those facets, you would say that the conscious memory will actually be returned back and back and back until there were times when there was actually memory within the physical life. And at that point, it's to say that all of those kinds of illnesses are just gone.
So it's not so much a healing, it's more like a retraining session.
Yes, that's quite true. Yes, so I hope that you understand that and you can relate to that in respect of what I'm saying to do with cell memory and consciousness memory. It's important that people on your side of life really understand what happens upon passing and how their memories may still continue to be relived.
Okay. Well, the thing is, though, I think Dave's point as well is that we rely on, for instance, touch.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
Our skin, the largest organ of the body,
yes.
Will tell us so many different things, won't it?
Absolutely.
The eyes bring in and trigger different emotions that, okay, yes, it's a very physical thing, but it's all to do with the body, isn't it?
Yes,
I can see his point.
Absolutely, I do too.
Mm.
Yes, but the point is, though, dear Ben, you have to also take it that before you ever had a physical life, you could still see.
Mm.
You weren't like some amoeba with no eyes. You weren't like some being in physical life without ability to make contact in some way. You were not some umbilical nothing that then waited for something to connect with it. Spirit isn't like that. Again, this is sometimes a situation that people simply cannot get their minds to travel along. It is simply the difficulty of a cohesive state of, well, if I had no mind, if I had no consciousness, no feeling, no touch, no sense, if I had no physical brain, nothing to correlate with the physical state, then I could not have been anything. That is not true, because your spirit is everything. And it means to say, friend, that even without having a physical life, your spirit can communicate and has been communicating for millions and millions of years. So that's part of, in a sense, the fait accompli within this situation. So partly it will be that when a physical person tries to understand the relationship between physical stateness and spirit, it's actually very difficult because you're relating constantly to things of physical state, to the actual, not just you sensing them, but how that sensitivity comes about in itself is a complete prescription of the physical body. It's bringing, aligning physical situation sensations that are fired off, then pheromonic triggers happen, various different situations happen to respond within the eyesight, if you are fortunate enough to have it. What then of spirit, who never had a being that was having a physical emotional journey that had sight? It's like all of that consciousness setting, all of that cell memory is missing, isn't it? Like if you were a being who was born with no legs, you wouldn't know what it was like to have legs. In your consciousness setting, it would not be apparent. And yet you very seldom find that there are those spirits who come through to your side of life and who actually had no legs and were actually born with no legs. Or you have a being who comes through with no sight, and that that's still a consciousness memory. It's not to say that it isn't a consciousness memory. It's not to say that it was something that was abandoned. But that actually what happens is that there is a kind of a situation that is not a means test, but in a sense, it's a way in which spirit are able to communicate with one another via not the same apparatus that you adopt when you have physical life. So quite simply, you don't need to have had a mouth, lungs, eyes, skin in order to develop these processes.
Okay. And because we won't have a brain, we'll still have our consciousness.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely so. Okay. I know that's a bit difficult too.
If you have a body, if you want to carry on with your body, albeit a bit younger, hopefully,
yes,
when you get to the spirit world, yes, and you've worked out how to do that, do you still react to touch if another spirit hugs you or touches you or you know, can you feel, I mean, that's the other thing.
Yes.
Can you actually feel touch, for instance?
In the spirit world?
Yes.
Yes.
You can.
And you also feel other things as well, which were not of the physical world. So new things.
Well, I was just going to say
new
that.
New horizons, what new is, situations.
Yes, see? Yes.
Mm. So a being moving through you, perhaps, that you may never have experienced in physical life, but that actually what happens is in the spirit world, you become much more au fait with situations of different dimensional state and how they actually interact with you. In a similar way, I suppose, to the different situations of how a being on your side of life may interact or may show a form of activity which actually enables a solid object to interact. And that's very difficult, I know that. But sometimes it can be possible within the fabrics of, shall we say, the spirit world, or maybe a manifestation situation of the spirit world.
So what if it's, okay, so what if it's a new emotion? How do you experience a new emotion that
yes,
we didn't have on
if
this
you don't have any ritual earth from it?
Yes.
Yes, a new memory.
Yes.
Well, it's a situation that, remembering the event, you're not reliant wholly and solely upon the consciousness memory of what your physical life was.
Mm-hmm.
You are also relying upon your pure, beautiful spirit bringing through new situations. And your beautiful, pure spirit will hopefully be helping the physical consciousness to overcome the barriers that had been set by the physical consciousness. Sometimes this is not possible. Usually the events that make it difficult for your spirit to communicate with you are perhaps because of some situation of gross negativity or some such thing as that.
Mm.
And in which event it will be that it will be very difficult for this your beautiful pure spirit to actually get through to your consciousness in that regard. So it may actually take a while or a time. I know time doesn't exist in the respect of the spirit world reality, but in physical reality can still be actually motivated by that. And this is quite strange as well, because sometimes beings in the physical world, when they'd had their physical experience, actually take their timelines with them as well. So that it means that a being who comes to our side of life has to go to sleep. And there is no real reason for it, but that's what they have to do. And they continue to go to sleep at those certain set times that they were perhaps au fait with, perhaps that they were familiar with just before they passed to our side of life. Eventually, of course, they'll be able to rescind these situations.
Hmm.
But it's quite interesting, really, because it means that you actually have beings who were in physical life who run round as though they're mice on a clock, you see. And they're still orientating themselves in a 24-hour day or whatever. Oh, well, it's time to go to bed now. Oh, really? Oh, very well, yes, they're still on the clock syndrome.
Okay, but is it because they don't know any different, or is it because they just like it?
Like may well either. It can be either.
A lot of people get comfort out of routine. And
oh, yes, you know, absolutely so. And particularly, I have to say, dear friend, to begin with, when someone comes to us on our side of life, the immediate situation from transition is usually that it's not that everything suddenly flies out the window and that they are being completely different.
No.
Oftentimes, it will take some, I suppose, concerted understanding to progress from what they were within physical state to what they become now in the spirit world. And then some, because it continues as more and more horizons open, more and more truths become revealed. This is, in a sense, what can be so difficult, disorientating, when people come to our side of life when they are predisposed to certain calibrations of their physical life or what that was supposed to have attained them.
What, positions of grandeur?
Yes, absolutely. Oh. So, yes. Oh, I became ascended when I was in physical life. Yeah. Bet your life you didn't.
Mm.
And so it goes on, you see.
Oh, absolutely, yes. So how can you tell if somebody is happy or sad if they haven't had a physical life and you're just, looking at them and being with these people, looking at them? How do they demonstrate that?
If they had.
Well, how do you demonstrate it? I mean.
Well, I had a physical life.
I know you did. Okay. So we watch people, they cry or they laugh sort of thing. So is this the sort of thing that goes on in the spirit world?
Yes. There are still emotional fields.
Okay.
And events.
Okay.
That can be played out with beings who had a physical life. And other beings who never had a physical life, never had a human experience, don't forget, friend, it's oftentimes that there will be beings on our side of life, pure spirit, who will actually borrow someone else's consciousness for a little while so that they can actually understand what it was like to be them. This is borrowed with the concerted effort of all and sundry, I have to say, and that is with only the absolute love. It's not something that one being usurps another and then there is some strange circumstance where they have made off with their consciousness reality or something like that.
Hmm. Well, that sort of thing could be done, could it not, to the extent where you didn't need to have a physical life. Well, you didn't need to have one anyway.
You didn't need to have one anyway. Yes. That's my point, really.
As soon as I said it, I thought...
Yes.
Okay,
No, but the point is, you see, and you cannot forget that, in a sense, that most beings, when they come to have a physical life, when they decide, oh, yes, I think I'll go and be a human for a while or something like that, what they've actually done, usually, is that they have shared the memories of others before they go to have their physical life experience.
But aren't there more people that don't bother after doing that?
There are some who decide not to elect to go.
Because you can't,
after all.
Well, yes, and you can't just borrow the coat, as it were, of somebody who had a great life and was a really nice person, and do you know what I mean? And then judge it by that, because
it's
very, very negative on the earth plane.
Yes. On the whole, dear friend, pure spirit tend to borrow the jackets or coats of many different beings' lives to understand perhaps a little bit more about what it was to be them.
Mm.
I only say borrow. It's not something that is forced or continuous. Sometimes, however, sometimes these memories are what are carried with the spirit to having into the physical life journey.
Mm.
And it's sometimes these borrowed memories which actually can then become illuminated as though they think it was their life journey as a physical being.
Mm, like a reincarnation thing.
Yes, of course it wasn't.
No.
But sometimes it can, because the reason why that is because it was the energy of pure love coming from the pure spirit being in order to have that sharing experience that illuminated its pathway, that because it was such a pure energy of love, they may have taken it on as their own experience.
Mm.
Or that perhaps it touched them so.
And it,
because spirits in the purest form, it's not true to say that we do not have, or that you do not have, reactive states to pain, reactive states to disillusionment, reactive states to all different manner of things that human beings suffer from, that other beings suffer from, all of the millions and millions of beings that exist within all physical worlds.
And it wouldn't have been done without, because the intention was with pure love.
Yes.
Then this is why, possibly then, am I right in thinking that it's people that are on their journey that have these experiences because they have continued their seeking and their searching and their awareness?
Yes.
So it's these people that will remember that.
Absolutely so.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
And they may remember as well, many of them. That's the thing. That's the point we have to make.
It's not just a one-off, is it?
No, absolutely not. No. Most people go through perhaps 50, 100, 200, 300 different beings' energies in order to understand what it really meant to them. And they will do that anyway, as you will have done that anyway as a pure spirit being, simply by your giving process.
So is this like something that you go through because you're planning on or thinking about having a life on Earth?
Yes.
So it's part of the build-up to that?
It is part of the build-up to that. It is also a reason for doing it as to perhaps bring help to others coming back from the human physical Earth existence so that they can help them. Mm. And very often it will be that you will be met by other spirit who aren't necessarily related to you, certainly not ancestrally, but are there in their purest form, but as also a memory of some other life situation. As I say, this doesn't mean to say that we must not, as human beings, then cast this always as being a negative. That's what generally human beings tend to do. Oh, well, they must be bringing around this false statement so that they can pretend to be one thing when in actual fact there's something evil or whatever. You see, that's human beings think like that. That's because they do. And they think like that purely and simply because they're locked into this supplicant situation of extreme negativity, which religion generally makes you behave that way, generally makes you very fearful, generally makes human beings become very suspicious of everything, suspicious of even your own grandmother looking after your children, or suspicious of your uncles, aunts, sisters, cousins, whatever, twice removed. And the whole connotation of it that you presently have now in your physical side of life is that you can't trust anyone. Not even your own mother or father to look after your children.
Well, how's it got like that then?
That is really to do with the allowance of fear to become kindled in the spirit, to become kindled in the emotional state. That means to say this kindling that has come about has sourced great fires within the human emotion, great fear. great anticipation of that fear, anticipation of pain. Event horizon has been painted and changed into illuminating and eclipsing the fears that are uppermost in your consciousness.
I mean, even this morning on the news, this is in the UK, you know, there was talk about, I won't mention which religion, but a religious section of our society that was worried about maybe having to conform with another religion in our society.
Yeah.
Well, it's worldwide. But
and they're both feared, well, creating it was all of the time.
And it was
100%.
All about to be careful. And this is, you know, if we don't look out, we're going to be taken over.
We're going to be swamped by this other energy. Mm, and it's like human beings are thinking themselves as so fickle and so lacking in awareness and lacking their own resolution that they have to be in fear of all things that are not what they believe, are not what they think, how they think, how they put two and two, making five.
Yeah, listening to other people because you're too lazy to work it out yourself has a lot to answer for.
It absolutely does, friend. Absolutely. 100%, I completely concur with that thought and premise, friend. It's one of the most dangerous things that human beings do, men in particular, I have to say, because they're more intrinsically lazy.
Really?
So we have observed from our side of life. I know that there are many men in physical side of life who work very hard and are absolutely stalwarts of compliant energy, of making things work for the benefit of others. I take nothing away from them, from anyone. And I do not want anyone to think of this as a glib statement or anything, or that I'm making sweeping, generalizing statements. However, it is a fact, if it were not for males in the physical side of life, there would be no war. Ever.
Okay.
So the situation becomes then, what you have is this singularity, singularity of mind. That's exactly the same as the same condition that happens when you have a person comes into the midst of a group of people, and that person is paraplegic, or that person is in some other way deformed, or does not have 100% of their logic or their culpable mind in tow. There will always be those males in that group. If you have a group of 6, 8, or 10 people, there will always be males within that group, even though they may not actually voice it at the time, will think detrimentally toward that being.
Really?
Yes. Either by way of being condescending toward that being, or by thinking something derogatory. And I know that all men who will be present at that time will swear black as blue that they're not. But there will always be at least two, if not more, people who will do that.
So why is this then?
It's actually to do with the fight or flight, the instinctive persona that comes about because, and the basest way, human beings are animals. Which means that they will look to supplanting the greatest genetic. So that, remember, is the way in which human beings on the basis of it behave in physical life. That they are looking to make sure that their genetic is superior to everyone else, and that is what they're fighting to create. That is why it will be that actually females take a different view. Because what females do is they tend to look for the male genetic, not necessarily that is the most handsome. but is the most sustaining. So will be the one being who actually, depending, of course, upon how that genetic is mastered and how that female is able to withstand the fluctuating circumstances of the pheromonic activity happening within her.
Mm.
But by and large, that is what will be happening. Sometimes it's quite obvious. Sometimes some females only go for particular male types and may often only pick ones which are short-lived, purely and simply because they haven't actually met the right male genetic.
When you said short-lived, I thought, well, how do they know they're going to die young? But you didn't mean that, did you?
No, I meant the relationships that were short-lived.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that they will actually still maybe even procreate with that male, because there's certain something about that genetic which the female recognizes hormonally that enables that to be, yes, this is a good, this will be a good genetic because mine will actually usurp that genetic, but I will be able to take the good pluses of it.
But this has got to be on a hormonally subconscious, base instinct level.
That is true.
I don't know any woman that would ever have this conversation with another woman, or even...
No, you wouldn't.
That would even know that they are doing that.
It's actually subconscious, and all the time, that's actually part of the pheromonic activity, and why you are calculating how that relationship will work for you.
Mm.
It's part of the reason why it's behind it. Now, when coming back to the male situation, syndrome, it is actually, and I'm not taking anything away from those males, many of them, who exist in the physical side of life, who are most loving, endearing, and hard-working and constant companions, and very spiritual ease, and of which means they have a different event horizon. Much of this actually comes through from the soul group that they've come from, or from their spirit arrival, being that they are aware of their spirit.
Even if they don't know it.
It's
shining through, yes.
Yes, absolutely so. And in which case, they will actually trump through their ordinary pheromonic physical human activity in order to become then that so much better being. And that, in many respects, then, will be a good capture for any female to actually come up with that companionship, even though it'll be difficult because there will be all of those other minuses the male has that's dragging along behind him, you see?
Yeah. Well, women have got minuses as well.
Of course they have, yes, quite so.
Mm. Don't go into those.
But they're not the
same.
They're not the same, Finn. The point being that males simply do not think in the same way. So they only think in monosyllables, and that is the reason for it. It's because they're actually much more ad hoc to their genetic and to their the actual genetic pheromonic activity that is guiding them and driving them at the time. Males can overcome this by opening their enlightenment, by understanding much more about their spiritual state. And then, in fact, becoming much more inactive toward the female gender of your species.
Mm.
And that then provides great ultra strengths as well. That doesn't mean to say it will be the same to someone who is divisive and maybe spiritually aware, but is still very, dogmatic, very... simply wants to sit within a certain specific religion and actually adopts the fight or flight principle within that religious understanding in rejecting everything else or everyone else from their own principle because they're using it as a way of herding or as a way of using the herd in order to become safe.
Well, absolutely, and you don't have to think because there is a certain way of life usually in a religion.
Yes.
isn't there? A way of life, we do this, you don't do that. It's all clearly marked out in a way, sort of.
So you don't even have to think of it. And you, as long as you behave in that way, everything will be hunky-dory and you'll come and sit on the right hand of God, left hand of God, middle of God, left of God, below God, however you become ascended to be, or maybe even lucky enough to become a saint. However, that is never going to happen, usually in your lifetime, and will only come at the behest of those of various forms who have that predilection to that duty.
In the spirit world.
In the spirit world. Later. Or maybe actually still in the physical world and then become enabling that person to become canonized for some errant reason.
Yeah, okay. Not that you're, I mean, okay.
Not all, of course, were actually canonized for the beautiful things they did. Some were canonized for the great mayhem they created too. On behalf of their religious supplement.
Okay. So, and when you talk about God in the way that you understand God and the way you talk about God, as in we are all shards of God,
parts of the whole.
Parts of the whole, the universal source of life. Not the...
Not the man in the
on
clouds.
On the throne, yeah.
No, on the throne, no.
Okay. what you like, Gregory?
I am like Gregory Hay, friend. I am like no other than Gregory
Hay. You certainly aren't. I was going to ask a really interesting...
I mean, no disrespect to any of these religious groups, friend. I really take quite a dim view of... I am not here to lambast against anyone in particular.
Well, this is what this show's all about, though, isn't it? It's to help you think out, like, think outside of the box, as I always say, to open minds and hopefully, you know... appreciate a different point of view, or at least work something out.
Yes.
Whether you don't agree with... I mean, this is debate. We're on about debate.
Yes, but some people, when they are immersed in their religious experience, are really beautiful. Absolutely cannot fault them. They work like Trojans. They are absolutely in service to others and do all of the right things. And I have to say, friend, there are many, many people with whom... whatever their religious decree suits them well. And that so long as they do not take then the advantage upon themselves that they are better than someone else, or that they are somehow exclusive, or that they are somehow further along the pecking order, further ascended than someone else because they're within that club and not someone else's, that is usually the sticking point and where people actually become unglued from reality.
Yeah.
That's all that I'm saying.
Okay, yeah.
And it is that part of it that I am very, very wary of after having seen the terrible, terrible damage that certain religions continue to wage upon your side of life, continue to be divisive, continue to create mayhem in the name of their divine purpose.
Yes, it's all about, I mean, well, that's been most of the problems on this earth with the wars, and it's always, pretty much always through religion, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely so. Even the demand for the right to stop education for black people, for people who are non-Muslim, or for people who are Muslim but are of the wrong gender, or people who are Christian, that they should have as many babies as they possibly can manage throughout their entire lifetime, regardless of the actual amount of food that may be available to support them.
Yes.
Or the amount of wildlife they will have to eat or decimate in order to support them.
Well, there's probably about 20 different show topics there that we've been talking about. But basically, we're talking about accepting difference and understanding another person's rights to their own point of view. And appreciating how that person or race has come to that conclusion. If we, you know, even if we don't agree with it.
Yes.
But it's it's when it encroaches on other people, isn't it?
That is true. Absolutely.
As if fighting with them will make a difference.
Yes. So if a person decides that they are the believers and that everyone else who does not think like them are unbelievers, heathens, beings that will never even come to an understanding of being, which is perhaps lower than a dog. That means to say, those beings are entitled wholly and rightly to whatever belief system they have. If that is what they will of it, is their view of the physical world, so be it. But it is not how the spirit world is made, and it is not how the rest of the universe creates such intolerances.
Now, talking about religion and church services and that sort of thing, I mean, prayer, we've said before, you've said before, is a very powerful, beautiful tool.
It is.
But again, it's not just to be something that is confined to a religious building, a structure.
That's right.
And to, you know, a specific way of life, religious way of life. Anybody and everybody can pray. And
it is
a powerful tool.
Yes.
Okay, so are there church services in the spirit world? Because per se, church services, everybody getting together on Sunday or whenever, again,
yes.
You're sending love, you're there for a purpose, and that is a great thing, and we're not knocking that at all, are we?
Yes, that is true. So in answer to that first part, then, dear friend, there are those still within their religious groups on our side of life who maintain their theocracy without falter.
Mm.
And continue to worship in their Gothic buildings, in their buildings of sanctuary and sanctimonious understanding. There are people who are still contrite, who will still sneer at, throw tomatoes at, if they only had them, beings who have another faith or another understanding. There are still intolerances that sometimes emit in the spirit world. They are not stamped on or stamped upon by others on our side of life. They are allowed to run their course. However, what they will do is run their course in isolation, because what they will do by their behavior is create themselves in isolation. They won't actually be a part of the rest of it.
But will they necessarily mind being like that?
No, maybe not.
It's very often like
that
here anyway.
Yes, that's right, absolutely. And you'll still have these little enclaves of situations in just the same way that you have in the physical side of life, where you have the Chinese quarter or the this quarter, Polish quarter or whatever. And you have these little situations where they enact little bits of their kingdom or little bits of their religious study or theocracy. So you have imams shouting ridicule at all of these other beings, and they have their scholars and others who are coherence and adherence to that theme sitting, listening intently, because that's what they did in their physical side of life. And yet, what will happen around them is that the energy around them, that what they create is, they create through that adversarial effect of energy that they create, simply will mean that they will become isolated. The energy they create will make them isolated. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything horrible except for what horrible states they create themselves. And that, in a sense, will create a different energy about them, which will then mean that they will be isolated from everyone else.
Mm, yeah, their vibration will not.
Yes, absolutely. So that's exactly the same as Catholic groups, as groups of one church or other, one faith or other, who declines to say, or whatever, any religious group. There will be those people who came from the Nazi party in the 1930s who continued to administer that same faith-filled organization of detriment of all other beings other than themselves.
So, well, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but...
energy still makes them stay there.
Yes, okay. But what about, for instance, when they get to the spirit world, say, for instance, of a religion when they were expecting to see Jesus or whoever, all right?
Yes.
When they got there, I mean, that was one of the things that they thought they had the key to.
And some will.
Okay.
Some will. Jesus is everyone. Such a loving being. You see, some people will expect that that will be who they'll see. And for the intents and personality of it, if they are really loving, if they were really beautiful and really meant it, like Mother Teresa, like others of that intensity, it will be, they will meet them.
Okay, but not everybody, especially people who have kept themselves segregated from other people because they're not in their club.
Yes, that's quite
They're true. Not going to, are they? So why do they still continue? Because they've actually passed and it's happened. So why do they, what do they think is going to happen next?
Because they'll still think that they're still on the road to it.
Oh, right, okay.
So because that's what dogma is. Mm. That's what dogmatic principle does and creates. That's in exactly the same way, my dear friend. If you actually came to the spirit world, shall we say, and you went and looked at the Indian subcontinent, and you studied it for a while, and you would see that all of those people in those certain specific castes who were not allowed to talk to or even be with, eat from the same table as castes of another order, they will still maintain that direction of duty because that is what they have been told they must do in order to become reincarnated into some other being.
But they actually don't. So
but
they
actually
just keep
don't
doing the...
because they are adherents of that fixed state.
That's interesting, isn't it? Hopefully we can get some more questions on this because...
Yes,
okay. It's a huge subject, isn't
enormous,
it?
Brings up absolutely all sorts enormous, Ben. Yes.
Different areas.
Yes, absolutely
okay.
So.
Well, but we've come up to time. Thank you, Gregory.
Yes, thank you so. God bless, little bird.
Thank you.
Thank you so, everyone.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. And thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.